Today's November 30th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $37,964.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another Thursday, you know, trying to burn off that Thanksgiving weight.
Hey, how was your holiday? Did you have a good holiday?
It was okay.
Yeah. Do anything exciting?
No.
Just pigged out with the family?
Just pigged out. That's basically it. How about you?
About the same.
It was a double holiday for you, huh?
Yeah, it was, we did, so my sister actually bought me an ice cream turkey cake for my birthday.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was crazy. It looked like a turkey. The flavoring was weird because it almost looked like turkey on the inside, right? Because it was kind of like that white ice cream, but it almost had it like some dark meat at the same time. So part of it was sweet potato ice cream. Part of it kind of had an actual like kind of turkey flavor. And then it had cranberry swirls into it. And then it had cornbread chunks in it.
Huh. I mean, that's like the weirdest combination I've ever heard, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like it was kind of tasty and it made me chuckle. And then like the whole outside was covered with a caramel like glaze to make it look like it was a brown turkey. It was pretty clever. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that was my Thanksgiving. And then I had told y'all I was going to work on leaves and that didn't quite happen because of the weather that we had, but I got part of it done. I still have more that I've got to accomplish. So, yeah, so that was that. But I mean, I hope, and honestly, we probably should have done an episode last week because there were a lot of things that had gone on that we'll touch on a little bit later within the Bitcoin space. And I do want to go ahead and say, like, we opened up the podcast saying it was 37,000 something. We just broke back into the 38,000 mark. So that has changed again.
Wow.
So it's gone up $200 since we kind of started recording here. It's Bitcoin.
Well, it makes our little $3,000 investment a little bit more profitable now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So where are we at with that now? So at 38,032 at the moment.
8,032. I don't know. I don't have my calculator with me. I don't do decimal math that quick anymore.
$3,365.83. So our $3,000 investment right now would be at $365 of profit, right?
And didn't take you a year to get that?
No, it did not. It goes back to some of this stuff. I hate to pick on the gold bugs, but you know, when they talk about that chart where they're like, if you put a dollar into Bitcoin a year ago or 10 years ago and then a dollar into gold 10 years ago, like what would you have? And it'd be like $1.90 in gold and millions of dollars in Bitcoin. But.
Well, the only time that gold's been profitable really in recent history, it went up a little bit after the 2008, but then it crashed back down and it's barely getting back up there. I mean, really, if you were going to make profit in gold, it would have been, you know, 2000 roughly is when you would have bought it.
Yeah, right around the time the actual ETF for gold launched, right?
Yep. Because actually, that's 2004, 2005.
Yeah, it went on quite a tirade during that time. And then ever since then, the prices have kind of been fairly stable. Gold is actually above $2,000 again right now, so it's sitting at 2,041. So that's not awful. I mean, it's getting back in that 2,000 range. So
yeah,
it's good for the gold bugs for sure. So real quick, I mean, just to touch on some of these things that we kind of missed. I mean, part of it's ongoing. The Bitcoin hash rate has now sitting at 506 exahashes, which is kind of funny because just 2 days ago it was 488 exahashes. So I think we just hit a new all-time high again for the hash rate. And you kind of brought up something when we were discussing that before the podcast started. Like, what do you think is funding that some of that right now?
Well, nobody knows, but they've kind of noticed beginning in, you know, October 1st, the hash rate's just been going up and up and up. And some people were speculating there's no definitive evidence of what's happening, but some people were speculating that BlackRock is putting a lot of funding into mining to raise a good chunk of their Bitcoin that way. So, I mean, it's kind of tough to do it that way, but
you know,
it works, right?
And it makes sense. I mean, they're not going to buy on the open market. They're not MicroStrategy, where Michael Saylor was sitting there and just buying micro amounts like all the time, right? No offense to Michael Saylor, but I can just imagine him doing like lines of coke and just being like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy a little bit more right now. Because like he oversaw that process personally. And so it's like, can you imagine just sitting in front of a computer and just buying like little fractions of Bitcoin, like continually? And speaking of which, MicroStrategy just bought some more Bitcoin. They just announced they bought an additional 16,130 Bitcoin for $593 million at an average price of $36,785 per coin as of November 29th. So they now have 174,530 Bitcoin acquired for $5.28 billion at an average price of $30,252 per Bitcoin.
Wow.
And that doesn't count like what his personal holdings are.
No, that's just MicroStrategy, right?
Yeah, that's just MicroStrategy. And I mean, the stock, when you look at MicroStrategy, they've been doing pretty good. They are down a little bit right now. They're down 3%. They're at 491.11. But considering everything else that's been going on, I mean, it's actually done a really good job for MicroStrategy to be holding Bitcoin. And I don't even know, and I'm kind of curious what your take on this is. Like, do you think another company would be able to pull that off now that MicroStrategy has done that?
No, not really. I mean, especially if the Bitcoin spot ETF gets approved, that's like, those days are over.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where companies may want to put some on their treasury balances, but I don't think they would be able to go whole hog in like what MicroStrategy has done. You know, it would be a small percentage of whatever their portfolio may be, whatever the treasury reserves might be, I should say. So kind of interesting. He's a visionary. I really do hope that it pays off big for him in the end, because he's been, you know, all about it the whole time. Like he's been one of the biggest preachers for Bitcoin ever since he dipped in, and he jumped into the game late.
Yeah. No, he got in 2020, so he got in before that bull run.
Yeah. Right before.
But you know what? He's talked the talk and he's walked the walk.
Yeah. He's got a free course that he offers on Bitcoin. Not that I'm going to completely plug him, but I think he's got Saylor University or something like that. I don't know exactly what it's called, but I know he's got a course on Bitcoin that you can take. Other news that just came out, we did get GDP numbers for the Q3, and they're saying it's the highest since Q4 of 2021. It actually beat their expectations. They said that Q3 stood at 5.2% increase, where preliminary figures, they only were judging it to be a bit of 5%. So GDP's up?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Consumer spending is down. Well, of course GDP's up. Everything costs more. It's one of the things that, you know, my company every year, there's usually like a 5% increase that they do. And they'll do like it twice a year. And so, of course, like the sales are increased every year. Because, I mean, even if sales are flat, you're going to still see about a 10% increase every year.
Yep.
Right?
And that's, yeah, if everything's staying even keel, yeah.
So
2-5% increases. That's
I guess it wouldn't break out to quite that much because it would be 5% and then 5%. So you'd have 5% increase half the year, and then the other half the year would be a 10% increase. But it's interesting how that kind of plays out. Like, of course, yeah, I mean, it looks better, even though your volume may be down, but you increase prices. So yeah, if people are still buying, it's going to cost more. So, and then we're going to close this off with the biggest news that's probably happened. And this is, well, so I'm going to, before we get into the big part of it, there was a lawsuit brought against Kraken. So originally within the United States, we had Binance US, we had Coinbase, we had Kraken. And then there were a few other little kind of smaller crypto exchanges, but those were the biggest crypto focused exchanges in the United States that existed. And Kraken was targeted by the SEC yet again, and they had just reached a $30 million settlement with them back in February at the beginning of this year. And they're now being sued again for selling unregistered tokens and for allegedly mixing their money with their customers' money, which has been the downfall of quite a few of the DEX exchanges lately.
Yep. Like FTX and
Tether. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Not so much Tether.
Celsius,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, you commingle those funds, things get kind of muddy in the water. And so they just got, they had reached a $30 million settlement with the SEC back in February, and now they're getting hit again for selling unregistered securities and commingling funds. And then the big thing that hit was CZ, the founder of Binance, which, I mean, Binance, he took that from a $15 million initial coin offering company to a $60 billion empire. It was the largest, I think it's the largest crypto exchange in the world by volume.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a big deal. And so he was stepping down and he's going to plead guilty.
Yeah. And well, and he got hit with what, a $4 billion fine? Or was
it that
$3 billion?
Binance specifically, I think he's going to end up, he's going to be paying also on his end. I don't know how much. I think I don't remember if it was 50 or 100 million.
And then I've heard some rumors that there's talks that he may end up, I know that they've restricted his visa right now. He's in the United States. I guess he lives in Dubai. But
I don't know.
They've restricted his travel right now because they're not sure if they're going to, you know, he could be considered a flight risk or whatever the case may be. But I'm pretty sure the reason why he's done what he's done is that he saw what kind of played out for Sam Bankman-Fried. And by no means am I saying that CZ was doing the same thing. I think this was, he got hit with, or I guess Binance got hit with anti-money laundering practices, that they weren't following him, the proper KYC and stuff like that internationally. So I think he kind of just was like, well, I'll fall on the sword. If I can, you know, I'm sure there was a plea deal of some type. There's a lot of rumors going around about speculation that Sam Bankman-Fried may have leaked information about Binance. And then obviously there's a lot of rumors about, you know, BlackRock was just clearing the path, getting these guys out of the way.
Yep. Well, I mean, if BlackRock gets into the game, I mean, one of the biggest benefactors from that would be Binance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think. I mean, Binance US was pretty much already done in the United States after everything that took place with SBF and some of the stuff that was coming down from the SEC, because the only thing that you could do at that point was Binance US would allow you to do crypto-only exchanges. So you could, as long as you had crypto elsewhere, then you could transfer it into Binance US, but you couldn't set up your own bank transfers and stuff like that from your own accounts. This year, that's when all that kind of changed. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because CZ has been such a big name in the crypto space for such a long time. Him stepping down and the Bitcoin price did not crash at all.
No. Now you would thought that would have had a bigger impact.
Yeah. Well, and I guarantee you, had this happened, you know, say 3 or 4 years ago, it would have been a huge impact. Like, the price would have tanked. The market would have been so scared. But it seems like I don't know. It seems like BlackRock's just clearing a path.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about that on the podcast before, where it seems like all these things are coming into place where they're just like, you know what, we're going to get rid of these. And I don't want to say bad actors, because I don't think they're all bad actors. But we're going to get rid of these new guys on the block that are trying to dip their toes in what should be our industry. Even though, you know, CZ and Coinbase and Kraken, these guys were the visionaries that saw the promise and the potential within the crypto and the Bitcoin space. And they
built their open market.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If it wasn't for them, that wouldn't exist. I mean, they brought it to the legitimacy that it is now. And now it seems like the big boy players are just like, no, we're not going to play that game. So, I mean, it could have been this, you know, BlackRock was influencing the CFTC going for this route. I mean, who knows? It's all speculation, right? I mean, Chaopeng Zhao actually, I mean, obviously he admitted to something. That's why he's, you know, he took a plea deal, pays the fine. Hopefully he gets to go about his life and enjoy what he's got, because I'm sure he's rich beyond his dreams.
Yeah. After that Bitcoin billionaire.
Yeah.
Or crypto billionaire at least. But I think you know, BlackRock is basically using the government to kind of crush competition, right?
Yeah.
Clearing that path, which really scares me.
You know, it's kind of funny because, I mean, at this point, it's like, is it the SEC like that is going to tell BlackRock no, or is it just going to be like, if the SEC tells BlackRock no, like all of a sudden Gary Gensler's gone? You know what I'm saying? Like he's fired. Like, you know, you didn't do what we wanted you to do. We're going to replace you with somebody else. Yeah. I don't know. It's probably nuts.
Yeah. I mean, if the SEC does tell him no, I do expect Gensler to be out.
Yeah.
I'll definitely say that.
No, so. I completely agree. If he tells him no, and maybe that's been the big holdout. Maybe they've just been waiting, and maybe Gary, once he approves this, he'll step down, like he'll retire from the SEC, and he's going to have a nice cushy job with BlackRock.
Only we were so lucky.
Although, from what I understand, he wants Janet Yellen's position.
Yeah, good old Janet.
Yeah. He wants his hands on the treasury. We'll see. And the other thing that's kind of interesting news with that is that Grayscale and BlackRock have been meeting with SEC, and that's true for ARK Invest as well. Like, they've been having communications, which in the previous filings for the Bitcoin ETFs, there was no communications between the SEC and the people that were putting in the proposals or the companies that were. Other than they would always say, well, we got to put it up for a public discussion. So they would put it up on the website and you could comment on it or whatever. But now they've been having closed door meetings with these groups, these corporations and these trading firms that really want to bring in the ETFs. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, either way, I mean, if it gets denied, what's going to happen to the price of Bitcoin? Yeah.
Oh, well, and that's the thing right now is, you know, Bitcoin at the end of the day, like, I mean, we're coming into a bull run. So there's a few things that Bitcoin has going into its favor. I think if the ETF gets denied, Bitcoin will suffer in the short term. But I think if we start to see like interest rates get slashed by the Fed with the halving coming up, like, I mean, Bitcoin has gotten to this price where we're at now before without any of that. It's gotten higher.
Yeah.
So I think Bitcoin would be okay. You know, I can't imagine at this point that the SEC is going to say no to BlackRock in the ETF.
I mean, I agree. I mean, things can happen, but I mean, if they were to deny, I don't think it's going to crush Bitcoin's future.
No.
But if it gets approved, it's going to light this thing on fire.
Yeah, no, you are going to see it. I don't even know. I can't even speculate. I don't even know what that would look like. I mean, because again, we bring up that whole thing we were talking about gold in the beginning of this. When gold got its ETF, it went on like a 2-year spree where it just climbed and climbed and climbed. Basically, the levels that it's at now and ever since then, it's been fairly stable. But, and eventually we know the volatility in Bitcoin is going to end. Like, it won't be volatile forever. At some point, it will become stable. What that price is when that happens, I have no idea.
Yeah. So do you think this is the last cycle before it stabilizes, or do you think it maybe has one more?
I would like to say we have at least one more. I would say, but, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, because when we start to look at game theory, we had, and we haven't touched on this on the podcast yet, but we kind of talked about it, but Argentina, for example, right? They just elected a pro-Bitcoin president, and his first action was he was going to end the central bank in Argentina. Which, I mean, he's kind of weird, because at the same time, he's declaring that he's going to make the U.S. dollar their national currency. And then shortly after, he wants to add Bitcoin. He wants to follow kind of the playbook of El Salvador. If you get that happening, you've got, I think it's something like 70 to 80% of the Bitcoin that's currently out there right now has not moved in the past year. So, like, people are holding on. People understand what it means to have a rock solid digital asset that can't be changed. The issuance rate is known up until the year 2140. We know exactly what's going to happen. And this is the hardest, most scarce asset that exists out there. So could this be the last small cycle that we ever see, or this last four-year cycle we ever see, and it just goes from here and goes up and eventually hits a point where it's like, well, you get small incremental growth after this and that's it?
Well, I kind of think, I mean, it all depends on that dollar.
Yeah.
And how bad, because we've been speaking about it. We know that the Federal Reserve, the raising of the interest rates, they're going to crush the economy eventually. Then they're going to have to cut rates. And when they cut rates, they're going to also turn on the printing presses. And I think that's going to, how bad do they destroy the dollar if that's going to have a huge impact on the future price of Bitcoin?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard numbers where, they say, like, if Bitcoin got to $250,000 a coin, obviously at that point, I think it overtakes the market cap of gold. And then they say that if Bitcoin ever got to, say, like $650,000, like, it has basically surpassed or usurped the US dollar at that point. And maybe at the end of the day, that's really what either needs to happen or has to happen, is that all the debt and everything that we have has got to go into that hard money that's not going to, that is solid. And maybe that's just the transition. The dollar may still exist as a spendable form in one way, shape, or form. But if Bitcoin becomes the final settlement later for global commerce, I don't know.
It's interesting times. Just watching and wait and see what happens next.
Yeah. I mean, and Bitcoin continually, like, it keeps on wanting to push above that $38,000 mark. I mean, we did hit an all-time high of, well, not all-time high, an all-time high for this year of like $38,500 this year. We hit that. The beginning of the year, I think I was calling for 40,000 to 45,000 by the end of this year. I don't know if we're going to hit that, but maybe we will. I'm hoping. I mean, we're not too far away from it. But it seems like Bitcoin's waiting. Everybody's waiting for the catalyst. So whether that catalyst is going to be the ETF or it's going to be the halving, whichever one comes first, I don't know.
Or something else. You just don't know.
Yeah. And if we get federal interest rate cuts, and I'm not just talking about cuts, but like the elevator down again because the economy's going to crap, Bitcoin's going to go hog wild. So I don't know, man. Do you got anything else you wanted to bring up today?
Oh, that's it for me.
Real quick, we are still working on the newsletter. We are working on some other stuff on the website itself. So if you haven't signed up yet, go to www.thebitbytepodcast.com. Make sure and go under our contact or sign up page there, and get signed up for the newsletter so you can stay informed with the information that we're going to be bringing to you. And then we also have the affiliate deals that we have on our website where you can get yourself an Elipal or a Ledger. And they're not being purchased by us. Obviously, we don't work for those companies, but we do get a kickback and it helps support the channel if you decide you want to do that, go that route. So we always do recommend taking personal self-custody of your Bitcoin, not financial advice, but that's all I've got.
Alrighty.
We will talk to y'all soon.